This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We are going to have Ross Tucker join us momentarily, the Odyssey NFL insider, the podcaster, CBS Sports, Westwood One. And a reminder, the guys continue the Firehouse Tour tomorrow morning. Sean and RJ, the Firehouse Tour. They're going to be in Anna, and that show will start at 6 o'clock, celebrate DFW with firefighters together, as Ross Tucker said to join us now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Brought to you by MyFrontPageStory.com. And a good afternoon, Ross. How the heck are you?
I'm doing awesome. What's up, fellas? How are you doing?
Man, we're doing great. You know, seems like the Cowboys had a pretty good draft. What do you think of Booker at 12?
Well, I mean, do you know who you're talking to right now?
Yeah.
I love Booker at 12. I mean, first of all, a couple of things. Number one, 2 years ago, I did the Ole Miss-Alabama game for CBS. So it would have been like the fourth or fifth game of Booker's sophomore year, true sophomore year, and Nick Saban told us in the production meeting that Booker was more or less the leader of the team, certainly the leader of the offense. And I said, a guy not even midway through his second year? And he said, yep. He said, listen, if they're a good player, they're only here for 3 years. So I thought that spoke very, very well of Booker. I actually saw Booker down there in Frisco last summer at Duke Manyweather's O-line Masterminds event. And it was like the other Alabama offensive lineman just followed him around. He was like the Pied Piper, right? Like, he is that guy. He is that type of leader, that type of personality. But then it's his play style that I adore, right? Blocking people, for those of you who've never done it before, blocking people, it's not really that fun. It's not that cool. You just kind of get in the way, and then you see somebody else score a touchdown, and the cheerleaders like them more than they like you, and they get their names in the newspaper. You don't. You know what's fun? Trying to kill dudes. Like trying to physically punish them and knock them to the ground. That is exactly what Tyler Booker likes to do. And in short order, I'll probably be talking about how the Cowboys have the best duo of guards in the NFL and maybe the two most physical guards as a pair in the NFL. I think that the Cowboys enhanced what they had with Tyler Smith and made a strength even stronger.
Ross, drafting a guy like Booker, what does that say about the plans, about the approach and the running style that Schottenheimer and this new crew wants to have?
Well, so remember, my rookie year in the NFL was 2001 with a guy named Marty Schottenheimer and the Washington Redskins. We led the NFC in rushing. Steven Davis led the NFC in rushing. We only ran like two plays. We ran power strong and lead weak, and it was awesome. We mashed people. Our quarterback was Tony Banks. We didn't have a great passing game. It didn't matter. I know, and Brian, by the way, was our quarterback coach that year. I know that deep down in his roots, Brian knows the effectiveness of a blunt, forceful rushing attack. And I would think that getting a guy like Booker reinforces that. And also this, by the way, I know everybody wanted a skill guy and a receiver or a running back hire. I know the way you guys operate. I get it, right? I'll just say this. The two teams that were in the Super Bowl, okay? The left guard for the Eagles makes $21 million a year. The right guard for the Chiefs is on the franchise tag for over $24 million a year. The point is you see what the Bears did this offseason. You see what the Vikings did this offseason. A lot of really smart teams, really smart people think that the interior trio is way important and very undervalued by some teams in today's NFL. When I played, I honestly think left guard, which is what I played for those seven games for the Cowboys, I think we were the least paid position in the NFL. I think we were the lowest paid position in the NFL. That has changed. People recognize not only being able to dent the defense in the run game, but how important it is for the quarterback for him to be able to step up. And with Tyler Smith, BB, or Brock Hoffman, whatever, and Tyler Booker, I would be surprised if they get a whole lot of push up the middle against the Dallas Cowboys.
I love it. We're talking with Ross Tucker here in the G-Bag Nation. With the skill players, specifically the running back position, that was one maybe we thought the Cowboys would address early. They go with Jadon Blue out of Texas, and then they circle back with Phil Maffa in the seventh round out of Clemson to pair with what they did in free agency with Williams and Sanders. Do you like that running back room now and working in tandem with what they're building up front on that line?
Well, so first of all, I don't really know what happened with Miles in Carolina, but he was a good player for the Eagles, right? I mean, he's not Saquon, but he was a good player for the Eagles. And, you know, he got a nice contract from Carolina, and maybe he wasn't as motivated. I don't know, but maybe this was a wake-up call for him, and he can get back to being what he was in Philly, because also Carolina didn't have a great offensive line. I like that they took not one but two running backs. The reality is, you know, you start to get the later rounds, usually it feels like you hit on 50% of those guys. So if you take two, you know, maybe Maffa ends up being awesome and Jadon Blue doesn't. I know this, Blue can run. He is, as you guys know, a blazer. And so I like getting that element in the Cowboys offense. And we'll see what Javonte Williams has. You know, that's very, very sad to me. Anytime a guy looks that good as a rookie, then has a major injury and doesn't look quite the same, maybe a year further removed, he'll be able to get back to that rookie year form. But they at least have a bunch of options there. And I think because of their experience with Rico Dowdle last year and the success he had, I think the Cowboys probably feel like with their offensive line, they can get inexpensive quality play from the running back position.
Ross, as a whole, though, when you look at the NFC East, and clearly Philadelphia has the best roster right now, but do you feel like that maybe the Giants and the Commanders and maybe the Cowboys have closed the gap a little bit, or is it still, it looked like to me Philadelphia had an outstanding draft, especially some of the guys that they were able to take even on day three?
Correct. They had a really good draft. They typically do. They are a very, very well-run organization. I do their preseason games, and even though they weren't one of the five teams I played for, they are impressive. I mean, they, in every way. I'm like, the marketing, like they are a well-run machine. And interestingly, by the way, they have the exact opposite philosophy of the Cowboys when it comes to contracts, which I think is fascinating. I'll just say this. If you're doing the opposite, the polar opposite of the Eagles from a contract standpoint, you might want to reevaluate the way you're going about it, because they have all of their best players, for the most part, under contract for years. That said, Brian, as you know, for them to lose Milton Williams and Sweat and Darius Slay and Gardner Johnson, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. So we'll see what their rookies are like, but the Eagles roster has taken a little bit of a step back, right? And it's hard to argue against that. The question is how much of a step back? And then the other question is how much of a step forward did the other teams take? Commanders are interesting the way they keep bringing in older guys. They are really trying to take advantage of Jaden Daniels on his rookie contract. I think they probably closed the distance a little bit. The Giants, I think, still have a long way to go. And I don't know how I feel about the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know that I feel like they're that much better than last year. You know, I think that they're hoping that a healthy Dak the whole year gets them back to double-digit wins. I don't know if that's going to happen for them, but they still have, you know, the game I like to play, and this is actually a fun game for any NFC East team, it's called how many of your guys would start for the Eagles, right? And so you go through and you look at the Cowboys, and we don't need to do it right now, but you guys can go through and say how many of you know, Micah would start, right? Mm-hmm. I think Dak would probably start over Hurts. We can debate that. But how many of the guys would really start for the best team in the division?
It's Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker here with you on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, I'm in my head right now trying to think, guys, is it just CeeDee Lamb?
Offensively?
Tyler Smith might at the guard spot.
Well, listen, Tyler Smith is awesome. I'm not convinced he's better than Landon Dickerson. And CeeDee Lamb is fantastic. I would just say A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are pretty darn good.
Sure.
So I guess my point to you guys would be, I'll give them to you. I'll give you CeeDee Lamb and sure. I'll give you Tyler Smith, but you're still only talking two or three guys.
Right.
And even all of those positions, Dak versus Hurts, Landon Dickerson versus Tyler Smith, CeeDee Lamb versus Devontae and A.J. Brown, they're still close. Like, mm-hmm. even if you give the nod to the Cowboys, the Eagles dude is like real close.
Ross, so do you see, I mean, what the Eagles did in the second half of last year in the playoffs is one of the most impressive things I've seen in the salary cap era. Do you expect dominance in the conference to continue?
I would think that they'll be the favorite, right? But they did lose a bunch of major contributors. Now, you know, it's funny because they lost major contributors and those guys got a lot of money elsewhere, but Milton Williams didn't really even start for them until this year, and he's not Jalen Carter. I mean, think about this. The highest paid guy in Patriots franchise history, okay, was not even close to being the Eagles' best defensive tackle last year. That was Jalen Carter by a mile. So they still have good players. I would put them certainly as the favorite, but you guys know, hard to stay healthy after you make a long run like that. Hard to do it again. You got to have a lot of things go your way. And I do think they have pretty good competition. You know, I think that the Lions will be right there again. I think the Packers are a team to watch. And the Rams almost beat them.
Yeah,
people forget, in the snow, the Rams almost beat them. Yeah. What would have happened if that game wasn't in the snow, right? I mean, maybe the Rams would have won. So while I think the Eagles are the favorites, I wouldn't say that they are the prohibitive favorites, right? I would think that there are teams that will be nipping on their heels.
Ross Tucker, I need the ultimate Mother's Day gift right about now. What you got for me?
Well, listen, my buddy started the company, the greatest Mother's Day gift ever. For those of you that are watching, I don't know how many people watch. I know YouTube's the big thing now for Odyssey. Check this thing out. We got this from my wife's grandma a couple years ago. By far the best Mother's Day gift ever. It's called MyFrontPageStory.com. You talk to a writer for 10 minutes while you're driving home from work, or maybe you fill out an email about your mom or your wife. They write this incredible story. It looks like it's, you know, on the cover of the Dallas Morning News, framed pictures of your mom and the kids or the grandkids or whatever. I'm just telling you, I've seen so many women cry after they get, like, happy tears, okay? Not like, you know, when RJ or Sean get something for their mom, right? Like, happy tears, okay? It's myfrontpagestory.com. Most of you, when's the last time you got your mom or your wife a gift that was so awesome it moved them to tears? This is it. I'd be almost shocked if she doesn't cry as she reads the quotes from you or your siblings or your kids. MyFrontPageStory.com. And if you go right now, they got 20% discount that pops up right when you go there. So do it, fellas. I would not steer you wrong. MyFrontPageStory.com.
Thanks, Ross. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, great seeing you, Brian. Great talking with you guys.
Thank you,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate you,
Ross.
Thanks, Ross Tucker here with you in the G-Bag Nation, the former NFL offensive lineman. Cowboy, I think that was it 2002? Larry Allen gets hurt. He stepped in there for the last six, seven games for the Cowboys. And, you know, he's got a heck of a career now as a broadcaster, podcaster, media member there. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker with you. Okay, we're going to step aside a little early because Rangers catcher Kyle Higashioka is set to join you next right here to the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105 through the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time now for the Rangers player show. Pregame at 6:30 tonight. First pitch, 7 o'clock. DeGrom's on the hill, and he's going to be throwing pitches to our next guest. The Rangers player show is brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. As Kyle Higashioka joins us now here on 105 through the Fan. And a good afternoon, Kyle. How the heck are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Going good. It seems like you like hitting these ace pretty good, man. You've been tearing them up over the last week or so. How you feeling up there?
Feeling all right, you know. Still definitely getting into the swing of things, but I'm just trying to have, you know, good at bats and, you know, hit the ball on a line.
Yes, sir. That sounds good to me. We will drink to that. And that's one of the main questions from the fans right now. What's been your take on why the offense is taking a little bit extra to get out of the gates firing this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, definitely a lot of us are kind of scuffling these first few weeks of the season. And, you know, when that happens, a lot of times you can feel like you need to turn it all around in one game, which is not going to happen. So, yeah, I think we just need to kind of take a step back, take a breath, and just focus on every single at bat, you know, being a quality at bat.
You were moving around the lineup a little bit, Bo Chadjia in the two hole tonight. You're going to be batting third. Do you have a preference of maybe where you are? You seem like a very team oriented guy. Like wherever Boach wants to write my name in, I'm down. Let's give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a win if I'm just in the lineup. So,
how do you like being a DH?
I don't mind. Like I said, you know, it's a win anytime I'm in the lineup for me. So, you know, just glad to have a chance.
Hey, Kyle, would you like to be known as a guy that throws people out all the time, or a better framer?
Well, I wish I had the arm for people to know, you know, people to associate me with throwing a ton of guys out. But, sure. You know, I think it is what it is. You know, I just go up there and try to do what I can to help the team win behind the play. That's the only thing I really care about.
Higgy, with some of the new rules over the last few years with the pitch clock, the pitch calm, how have things kind of evolved and changed for you as a catcher?
Yeah, I mean, the pace of the game is definitely a lot better. It's a little tougher mentally just because you got to get your thoughts in order on what pitches to call in a short amount of time. But I think most of us have made the adjustment. So, you know, there's other rules that are kind of facilitated towards helping base runners steal bases, which is, yeah. I mean, that's definitely, I think, for the benefit of the fans, you know. But that's something we got to deal with. And so, you know, this game's all about making adjustments. So we'll make adjustments to accordingly to whatever we have to.
Speaking of making adjustments, Kyle Higashioka here with us. how's it been getting to know these Rangers pitchers? And here's the question. Who's the easiest Rangers pitcher to catch for you?
I mean, you know, they've all been great. I think we've been throwing the ball really well for this first month of the season. So I'm pretty happy with them. I really like catching all these guys. It's been great. I don't know if I can really name one guy.
If you could catch any pitcher in baseball history, how about I ask you that? Dead or alive, who is Kyle Higashioka going to catch?
Honestly, I think probably Greg Maddux. I know that's Mad Dog's brother, but I like guys who really move the ball around and can make it move different directions, use both sides of the plate. Some where calling a game almost becomes like a mathematical equation. So I think he's kind of the, you know, typical pitcher that I really, really enjoy working with.
So does Mad Dog know, like, have you conversed with him at all about his brother, asked him some fun stories? Some of the stuff we've heard about him, he was quite the prankster.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we hear all the prankster stories, so that's fun.
How many pranksters are in the clubhouse now with these Rangers?
There's a couple, but, you know, it's easier to be pranking people when you're playing a little better. So we're focused on trying to, you know, turn this thing around.
So only the pitchers are pulling pranks right now? I'm teasing. Kyle Higashioka here with you on The Fan. Okay, what's one thing you didn't know about the great state of Texas that you've learned since you got here?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I've always liked coming to Texas in the past. So, I felt like, this is a great choice for me. And it's been great living here for the first month of the season. People have told me it gets really hot. So,
yeah, it does.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Lucky with this roof now. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been great.
I was curious about we've heard the Roky Sasaki stuff with the Dodgers. He just came out and announced that one of the things that they did in terms of recruiting him was providing Japanese toilets in the Dodgers facilities. Now I know about your Japanese heritage, and I'm curious if you've ever used one of these toilets, because we're trying to get the Rangers to get these things going. They seem incredible.
Yeah. When we went to Korea, they had like a similar setup with, you know, the heated toilets with the bidets and, all the fancy buttons. And then last year after we went to Korea, I noticed that we had two Japanese toilets in the clubhouse.
Ooh,
here we go. And, so I guess the guys must have liked that a lot. So,
okay.
They were fine. Sometimes they get a little too hot, though. You know, it kind of feels weird.
Oh, with the heated seats? The bun toasters overdo it a little bit. But, I mean, I've heard, like, once you go Japanese toilet, you never go back kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toilet.
It's a toilet. So, Brian Broaddus, one of our co-hosts, he has a football life. He's a former Super Bowl-winning Seattle, the Green Bay Packers. He was telling us yesterday, those restrooms are just disgusting. The stalls in an NFL locker room, it's horrible. Is it a similar deal in Major League Baseball, or are you guys kind of keeping this thing a little bit cleaner?
No, I think I haven't really ever felt that they're horrible in baseball. So I don't know.
Well, the NFL,
maybe you got the linemen, you know, eating too many chili dogs or something.
Exactly.
Be hard
exactly,
to contain.
Kyle. Yeah, you know exactly what you're talking about here. These NFL guys are way above the level of those guys for sure.
How was it going to the minor league stadium in Sacramento to take on the A's? What was that experience like?
It was good. It was good. Stadium play is really small, so that was basically the craziest thing about it. But, you know, the clubhouse facilities were, you know, pretty nice. I would say nicer than what they had in Oakland. And then,
that wasn't hard.
You know, our hotel situation was nice. And so it definitely, you know, it was totally fine.
Do you have a favorite stadium to play in?
I don't know. I mean, this year, numbers-wise, it's got to be Globe Life.
There we go.
There you go.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Well, we love having you here. Now, I did notice on your bio, you're a pretty big fan of the heavy metal music. Is that still the case with you, Kyle?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, 80s hard rock and metal. That's kind of my go-to.
So, what are we looking at here? Metallica? AC/DC?
Yeah, yeah. Metallica, Ozzy, Judas Priest.
Okay. That's pretty heavy.
The good ones.
Yes, sir. And what got you into that?
I think just interest in playing guitar and so I to me those guys are kind of that kind of music is the pinnacle of like guitar driven music. Mm. It just sounds great to my ear.
Can you strum it pretty good yourself?
I just play for fun.
Yeah. Do you take it along on a road trip or whatever, play in the hotel room, or are you just too locked in for that?
I haven't been. It's a lot of gear to carry.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, we appreciate you, you know, doing your part to carry this offense at times so far this opening month of the season. Welcome to the Texas Rangers from us, and best of luck to you for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
There he goes. Yes, sir. Kyle Higashioka here with you in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better.
How do you think he would have responded to the gorilla's question?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
That's a good answer.
Were you fearful of the question about the commode? After Woolchuck's kind of his question,
I was fearful about everything there. I was gonna ask him about what he'd prefer as a menu item, the fried higashi okra or the higashi okra tapioca. But ooh. I thought he was gonna hit me with another. I don't know.
Fried higashi okra, higashi okra,
higashi okra.
I was gonna ask him a Mason Miller question. You know that A's it like to like catch a ball going like 105 miles an hour trying to hit a ball, something like that. You know, I couldn't imagine. Standing up there, some dude throwing 105 miles an hour, something like that at me.
But I think we've all been imagining a lot over the last 48 hours. What would 100 men have to do? What would these guys have to be capable of?
I'm just telling you.
To have a fighting chance in hell against one average full-size male gorilla.
I'm just telling you what you'd have to do. You'd have to find a way to blind him.
Yeah.
You'd have to just attack.
You're going for the eyes first?
If you blind him and he can't see, yeah, he's going to thrash around. But you could, if he can't see what he's doing... I think it would be a real problem. I'm throwing dust in his face. Yeah. You know, I'm throwing dirt in his face.
I like that.
I'm trying to temporarily blind him and then jump him as he's kind of...
Jump him?
As he's trying to just...
A blind gorilla would destroy those 100 dudes.
You think so?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Who's going to stop him? What human hands are going to affect that gorilla?
Blind him...
There's going to be 200
get
hands.
Get him on the ground. I mean, I know he's going to thrash around and be a problem, but... If you get him on the ground, you could
get him on the ground.
Yeah,
whoever gets him on the ground, those two guys are gonna get their skulls bashed together.
We got 100 people we're gonna sacrifice along the way to make this work.
Well, 99.
Well, you need at least 20 to finish the job. I think at most you can sacrifice 80.
There's gonna be 80 casualties for sure.
I think I gotta holler at y'all's plug, bro.
But we blind him. I'm telling you, blind this guy.
We get the advantage of strategy, right? And we're picking our best 100 guys. Like they're not giving us the number one seed gorilla.
You think those 100 guys are the best? Man, you got to find a guy. Think about it. You got to think. You think those 100 guys are the best?
Aaron Donald and John Jones.
After the first five guys get their throats ripped apart, and he's using their arms as a weapon.
Okay.
The other guys, like, you know what? This is probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
We're backing out, bro. We have to mitigate with that.
We have something different than us. We're humans. We can't do this.
No.
They have fight or flight. Like, as soon as they get hit, it's like, oh, we're turning up. We get hit. Should we be doing this?
If I see, like, the first 30 dudes just get destroyed.
You're running the other way.
I'm stepping back. Okay. Yeah. We're not going to get this done today. But if I could find a way, right off the jump.
Crazy dudes, bro. These alpha UFC ridiculous fighters, these guys are crazy.
Man. I'm with you.
Got to be special forces trained.
I saw a dude wrestle an alligator on I-95 and get him into the truck. You know, jumped on an alligator's back. I mean,
that was kick-ass. I do think strategy is very important here when you're dealing with wildlife because they're not going to be able to keep a strategy together. So if we have a big enough arena and we can blind him, we can tire him out.
You can't tire him out.
We can.
They're so energetic. They've got us, though. They got us cooked.
But if we have unlimited time and he's blinded, you know, we can pester him and then run away.
Run away. They move so fast.
Until he's tired. Well, if he's blind, we have a chance, you know. And then I need a guy, like a 7-foot guy with super long legs to get on the back and get a chokehold.
A Jokic brother.
That's going to be a problem. I need you to look at how thick their neck.
Their chin comes out. There's nothing you can do about this damn thing.
You ever seen a Jokic brother?
If you had an 8-foot wingspan with matching legs,
come close to these gorillas, dude.
I think you might be able to get that thing around.
You're four to nine times stronger than a trained human male.
We don't even know how strong they are. It hasn't been recorded.
We're about to find out. I mean, their bone density, their jaw, like I think for sure there's nothing a human could do as far as blunt force to hurt him. Right, you're not going to be able to punch him or spear him or tackle him or
choke
anything.
Choke him, you can't do anything.
It's going to have to be suffocation, pretty much. You know, like one dude's going to have to sacrifice both hands down to the forearms and just shove him in his mouth. Right now, I'm sacrificing. I got him, guys. Okay,
but that guy's family gets ten million plus, maybe 100 million.
I mean, if you go out and show out, like remember how UFC used to have that award for the best fight of the night.
Yeah,
I can double this. I can double this bag to 20 mil for your family if you do something like that.
Bro, that, man, plug is somewhere clapping like, yep.
My money's on the gorilla.
214 says he's got Ray Lewis as a part of the hundo just to be the pregame speech guy. You know, get everybody hyped up.
Yeah,
fired
he'll get
up
him going
the
like William Wallace. But like, we're talking no weapons, right? That's the whole thing here. I think we're screwed.
Yeah,
I think
man.
We overrate ourselves.
He's going to bash brains in together, bashing skulls.
They can bite, jump around, fast as hell.
Take his vision.
Yeah, but how?
Starts by taking
what if I said? What
good
if
luck
I said
into his eyes?
What if I said it was 100 Aaron Donalds? What
still
if I said that?
Enough, man, still won't be enough. You can't penetrate that darn animal.
This
There's
is
nothing
I think
we can do with our physical.
Like they got thicker muscles. The apparently the skin super thick.
I think
I don't think we stand a chance.
100 Aaron Donalds, bro.
I think it's fighting techniques that we need more than raw power.
Yeah, like, there's got to be pressure points.
You're
to
not
a gorilla.
You're not gonna beat him with Yeah, you could.
Have you seen a gorilla's behind?
Yeah.
Have you seen his cheeks, bro?
Yep.
There's nothing we could do about that power he's got back there.
He's a power bottom for sure.
No doubt.
He's a trash can full of dirt, bro.
He drops that ass and he moves people.
There's got to be some way to find out without anybody getting hurt, surely.
No, we're going to lose about 75 guys.
You get a bunch of David Goggins in there, guys that just refuse to die.
Yeah.
You're going to get their throats ripped apart.
Yeah, like
he's
still
going to
be a motivational speaker on Instagram.
Yeah, like that's a great example. David Goggins just had a video with Israel Adesanya, one of our UFC champions or former, and Israel Adesanya is just about dying after the David Goggins workout.
The conversation actually be 100 men versus a chimpanzee. Even that might be hard, you know, because how freakishly strong those things are. But maybe we can pick it up a little bit later on. Krusty's Corner's coming up next year, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Brian, what kind of subject matter do you have today?
Yeah, I got some post-draft questions for my guys. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. And thank you to Reliant for once again being a part of what we do around here. Got a fascinating show right now on TV. They're talking like old-time NFL drafts, like in the 1960s and stuff. Some of these players, like my old boss Ron Wolf was up there and all those things. So it was nice to see kind of a thing. I'm kind of like listening and watching these programs. So it's kind of interesting when they go back and do these old draft clips back in the day. All right, I said that I have some questions for my guys. And these are some post-draft questions that hopefully we can get some answers on, kind of figure some things out. Maybe some things that lead to we've got the rookie like mini camp. It's like a walkthrough practice. This is not going to be anything that we're going to get much out of. I don't think we'll get anything out of these practices until we have the actual OTAs and stuff when you get the veterans and the rookies together. So not expecting too much, just kind of seeing what the guys look like physically. That's coming up here real, real soon. But here are my questions for you. And Chief, I'll start with you on this one if we can.
Yeah.
Who will be the biggest help to this roster? It's going to be Tyler Booker, Donovan Ezeraku, or Jaden Blue?
Oh, I think ultimately it is still going to be Booker. I think he's going to be a surefire full-time starter for you. I don't even totally know the roles of the other two guys. I do think those other two guys will have a for real impact, but I'm a believer in the offensive line. Ross Tucker was talking about how, I mean, the value of offensive linemen in the interior skyrocketed. I think Booker is going to make a cohesive, pretty respectable offensive line that is going to open things up for all the pass catchers, all the running backs. So I think every one of those guys will make an impact, but I'm going Booker. He's full-time every down.
How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, I think Ezeraku and Blue will both definitely have massive contributions throughout the season, but Ezeraku will be a rotational guy in my eye, as so will Blue. So I think down in, down out, you know, Tyler Booker will be the guy that probably has the greatest impact. But in terms of like, hey, what do fans like, the explosive plays, you're going to get that from Blue.
I mean, I feel like Booker's floor is so high. He is going to be a good player. If those other guys have a bigger impact than him, this could be an amazing draft. I'm going to say Booker. I think Ezeraku, though, going along, if you have another pass rusher opposite what they already have here with Micah,
that could be huge. You know, you could talk about going from a top 10 defense to, hey, we got guys the other team can't block, and as soon as we get them in a passing situation, they're toast. And I feel like, you know, with Micah and Tank, we got a little bit of that 2 years ago, where sure. you get in the fourth quarter and you almost feel like you got to call an ambulance on standby for the other team's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Willie, how about this one then? Since we're talking about Isaroku, does Sam Williams need to be worried about his job?
I think that he needs to be worried that he's most likely not getting re-signed. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think he's a guy that's going to be playing for a contract somewhere else. He needs to put out the best film possible. You know, you can't have enough pass rushers. I think talking with Aaron Whitecotton, the thing that he stressed was being able to keep guys fresh and rotating. So I don't think there's any chance Sam Williams is not on the roster. I think they want to have as many guys as they possibly can that are talented. But I think now when you were looking at, hey, is Sam Williams playing for a contract with the Cowboys? If Donovan Isaroku steps up and shows what we think he can be, that's a guy that they're probably going to let walk and get a compensatory pick in free agency.
Dawson? I mean, he's third on the depth chart now, but there's still a couple of guys behind him, right? Isn't there the Tyus Wheat guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got... I would still give him benefit of the doubt because of the speed and power.
How about you there, Chief?
Yeah, I think Walchuk really nailed it. The future beyond this year is certainly going to be in question, but they need him this year to step up. There's going to be a role for him, at least in passing situations, to go be just a full-time pass rusher type of dude. And hopefully off the injury, he still has the same level of explosiveness and disruptive ability that he's flashed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the future for him is probably bleak. But they're going to need him this year.
I just wonder if him not having any more sponsors in the building.
You think there's a chance he wouldn't make the team, perhaps?
Well, maybe that they keep somebody else in his spot.
Certainly not out of the question.
Yeah, I think this is a huge year for him because there's always been he's almost would you put him kind of in the same mold as maybe with Tolbert, that there was, and they were both picked right there behind absolutely. Each other. Or, you know, in front of each other, behind each other.
Contract year, they need to prove to not only the Cowboys, but the rest of the NFL that they're worthy of contracts after this season. I mean, they're playing for their football futures.
I feel like Sam Williams has had moments where it would look like he could physically overwhelm the other team.
Sure.
Tolbert's still out here trying to figure out his spot in the league and trying to survive. I feel like what Sam Williams has done will get him opportunities in the NFL for the next 2 to 4 years.
He just needs to prove that he can do it coming back from the injury is really what it is. Because I'm with you otherwise, but I do think teams
similar
are looking
to
at,
what, like with Randy?
Yeah, with Randy and with Gregory, Tony Pollard.
That kind of deal?
Yeah, I mean, like how are they able to get back to that same level of play post-injury?
Sure.
Was it ACL?
Yeah, and it did happen early in training camp. So he's probably got the best chance to come out and be ready to rock than any of these guys.
Dawson,
yeah,
is this front office going to sign a free agent wide receiver or trade for one?
I think it makes the most sense still that they would sign one because Amari Cooper is out there, and that just seems to make a lot of sense. I guess I'm hoping they don't trade for one because I don't trust their ability to do that. But I think they're going to hold on to their draft capital, maybe the Mingo trade combined with the Trey Lance trade should scare them out of thinking that's a good idea. But I think there's enough players out there that and knowing with their salary cap situation, it's hard to imagine they could find an upgrade better than Amari Cooper in the trade market for cheaper. I think that's a good fit.
How about you there, Chief?
Yeah, that's my guess too. They're just going to sign somebody. They like doing that stuff this time of year and all the way even into training camp. Just low risk, cheap veteran come in, plug and play. If they did a trade, I think it would be because they got off to a nice little start. They still felt like there was a hole there at the receiver spot and maybe at the deadline make a trade. But I don't see them doing it before the season.
Woolley?
I think Eric and Gavin are most likely right. But for conversation's sake, they are going to trade for DJ Moore with the Chicago Bears. He will be on the roster. They love DJ Moore.
Tell us more.
They love DJ Moore coming out of the draft. Bears have drafted Roma Dunze, and now they just took Luther Burden. There were rumors that he was going to be on the trade block at the deadline last year. Maybe DJ Moore's not loving his life in Chicago right now. Now, that is a guy that they've got to be willing to take on the contract that goes with DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. But I do know, just judging by players that they've liked and that they go by, hey, how did we like him coming out? that was a player that they were very, very interested in, and they almost selected in that draft class. So I think DJ Moore would be a name when we're looking at players outside of George Pickens or Rashad Bateman and a Courtland Sutton. DJ Moore would probably be the best of the bunch for me, a guy that can really, really make an impact. And now you're talking about a legit 1-2 with CeeDee Lamb and DJ Moore. That would get me fired up.
I would kind of be hopeful that they would trade for him because I think the quality of the player might be better.
Yeah.
So is the price tag. I mean, you are, like Walchuk mentioned, that's a cap hit of close to $30 million.
Take that in, 100%.
Yeah.
DJ Moore's cap hit's at $30
million. 25 this year, 28.5 the next two after that.
And maybe Chicago, maybe you do a Diggs and Moore trade, and you're probably going to have to throw some more in there because Diggs is hurt.
Yeah.
But maybe now you're swapping some contracts here.
Now you're really dirty talking to me.
Let's do it.
So George Pickens is in the final year of his rookie deal?
Yes. And he's going to want to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would love to imagine the Cowboys are swimming in those waters where they're looking at trading for a serious upgrade, because if you would do that and your running back room produces, then I think you're pretty buttoned up at that point, Brian.
See, okay, then I'm going to ask you this question in my last minute or so here. Do you feel better about what they've done offensively or defensively?
Defensively.
Yeah, defensively.
I do like the line, but I think that Revell, Azaraku, Toya, even King Bisote, who knows if he makes the roster or not, but I like what they've done defensively.
And then you add the Solomon Thomas and the two linebackers.
Absolutely.
They've committed quite a bit.
If they trade for a wide receiver, does that flip your thoughts?
Depends how good he is.
Yeah, it would depend on how good he is for sure. But I think right now it's definitely defense. When you look at the whole picture of the offseason and what they've done, I'm hoping for Toya.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that dude is clearly better than Mazi Smith, because to me that's still just the biggest question mark there. Do you have anybody that can legitimately stop the run on your interior?
I mean, he looks the part. It's pretty amazing to watch these UCLA cut-ups it looks like that's got to be two players over there. It's just one.
342 pounds. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Have the stars sold you. They can win this series and go make a run even without two of their best players. That's coming up next here. G-Bag Nation, 2 down, 2.5 to go, and we're back in the fam.